afternoon. You are joining Tardy We the People Radio.
Not my fault.
It's kind of your fault.
No.
You showed up with me.
Hey, we can start right out with the blame game.
Blame.
We can talk about what that really means.
And then we have a counselor here who can help us sort out the blame game. This is awesome.
That's right.
He's all sitting over there.
Okay, so I'm not my fault. You can be somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness. So we decided since the world was sort of out of control. It's interesting. I was chatting with someone yesterday who needed a good counselor, and I said to myself, self, I know a guy.
I know a guy.
And so anyway, it seemed like such a good time for a program about, let's see, what did I call it? Finding balance in a chaotic world. Sounded better than, are you losing your mind?
That is a tall order.
Are you losing your mind was really a lot closer to the truth than I think you wanted to go. That's a lot of pressure. So our guest today is Guy Asherman. And he typically is our January 1st. Actually, this last year you were January 3rd. You ring in the new year with us.
I see.
But this year is so bad.
Couldn't wait.
We've got to do it twice. We just de-headphoned him.
We're celebrating 2017 a little early.
Yeah, we are. We're just gonna go there.
We
now.
Needed it.
Oh my gosh! So you can find all sorts of information on our website, WeThePeopleRadio.us. My name is Aaron Ryan,
and I'm Bill Cundiff,
and I'm Bob Martin,
and I'm Guy Asherman.
There you go.
There you are. Last time I checked,
I just realized we didn't do that part. Sorry, I was having a little trouble breathing this morning. So then you use the inhaler and.
My hands weren't on your throat either.
Yeah, and your heart feels like it's going 500 miles an hour, so I'm talking a little faster than usual.
Technical update.
Oh, yeah.
About the unpleasantness. Our chat room went, and our online stream went down, I don't know, it's probably been down for at least an hour or longer.
Fabulous.
And our webmaster tells me the problem is not on our end, it's on the, it's wherever the server is, and they are attempting to rectify the problem. In the meantime, we keep trying to get our stream back online, but no luck so far. So if you're hearing us, you're hearing us over AM 1460 right now.
And if you have people that are typically listening online and are emailing, I should check my email, I suppose. And oddly enough, as far as we know, it has nothing to do with the domain naming system being handed over to a...
Oh, you know what?
I know. I'm like...
There you are right there.
Day one. Bam.
It's the Chinese...
Anyway, see, just
one,
a little
one
more.
One day, we relinquish control of it, and the online stream goes to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, somehow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
did you feel more secure when the U.S. was managing it?
See, that's the funny part.
Really?
We're not
happy with government, but don't take any of the controls away.
It's funny because I'll have people call at the office. I heard this on the news, or I saw this on TV or whatever, and I'm like, do you typically think that the media tells you the truth? Well, no, but you know what is going on.
Only when it fits the need.
Yep.
They can't both be true at the same time. So, okay. Straighten out the, you were the pastor at Reading Christian Fellowship, or you still are?
No, I was.
You were. You're a was now. Okay.
I'm a has-been.
Okay.
Join the ranks.
I wasn't sure. I, put the bio up there. I stole the one off your website because you're counseling.
Yes.
Do we call it a business or a service or a?
It's a nonprofit counseling center.
Center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's called Higher Ground.
Yes, it is.
And an easy time finding you.
Yes, and we're on the fourth floor, so that fits the metaphor, Higher Ground.
That is kind of funny.
Yeah.
And you have other counselors in that building.
Yes,
that,
we do.
That building's become kind of popular again. I'm not sure why everyone's at, 2400 Washington
mm-hmm.
Avenue?
Yeah. Well, there's two buildings there, and the whole left side of it, or the south side of it, is Northern Valley Catholic Social Services, and that, of course, is a huge social service that ministers to our community as well as doing a lot of counseling.
Sure.
And I sometimes teach people and I tell them we're in the North Protestant wing.
You're in the orange wing? You guys had to just repaint it. The orange wing and the green wing.
Yeah. So anyway, yes, we're on the fourth floor, 2400, suite 401. We've been there for 6 months and we have had the privilege of coming alongside many people and many more are coming our way. And it's a great joy to be able to serve those who are hurting.
You have four people there? I forget now. I looked on your website. Yes. Four or five?
Well, we have three doing counseling, and then we have a couple of others doing some assistance for us or consulting for us. Mainly, there are three of us there each week.
That's cool. Yeah. So for the people who miss our program on New Year's, which is when they typically hear you, give folks some background on you. You have an interesting story.
Give me a hint. What is my story?
Well, you know, kind of how you wound up where you wound up.
Yeah.
You've been, you've been with your wife since you guys were in the eighth grade. That's a notable
Still love
achievement.
Each other. It is. It's 43 years now we've been together. We have three grown adult sons, and of course they are married and have children. We have 10 grandchildren, and I'm way too young to have 10 grandchildren.
Yeah, you kind of are.
Yes. And so, I have been in ministry off and on through the years. I have been involved in finance and agriculture for a few years in between those. I come from an agricultural background, as does my wife. And we moved to Reading 20 years ago and have been involved with ministry and counseling during our time here, though there was also a brief stint when we first came down here being involved with retail banking. So I am a jerk of all trades, master of none. But, you know, life experience counts for something when you get to be this age. It doesn't feel good when you're actually going through it. But in hindsight, it looks like I've got something to contribute to just about everybody.
Yeah, you look back and you go, actually, I've kind of been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But of course, going through it, there was a lot of anxiety and depression, which is why I'm in this field today.
You're like, I'm here to show you that you can get through it.
Yes.
Well, there seems, I mean, maybe it's just the line of work I'm in, but it seems that people are,
melting down.
Yeah, or boiling over, or both.
Yes.
I mean, there's some that truly do go through the melting down. But I had, I think it might have been four, but I'll be conservative and I'll say three. I had three people Friday call me at the office and tell me that this is it. Mm-hmm. This is it. You know, I mean, we're just one click from being sucked off the planet, and it's mm-hmm. the end of the whole thing. And
right. Well, and we've been saying that for 2,000 years now.
And I kind of mentioned that. I said, you know, there have been a lot of different times, you know. I mean, you haven't been asked to jump in a bunk bed in a white outfit, have you, or anything?
Right,
I mean,
right.
You know, I don't know if joking is good, but it's all I've got.
And I don't know if I should talk theology today or not. That's not what you
can
asked me to
no,
be
no,
here.
You can talk about whatever you want.
But as we know, God has given every generation the hope that the Lord could return in their lifetime. I think that's by design, if I could speak for God, which
no,
I cannot
I think that's
do,
a good but, idea.
And so, you know, when people have that hope, It's for many of us, that is what keeps us going, because if we don't have that hope, all we have is despair. And and despair, of course, is the definition of depression. It's the absence of hope. It's darkness. And if we don't have a spiritual hope of some kind, a meaning and a purpose for our life, then we are drawn into darkness and oftentimes cannot find our way out. Additionally, I would say that many Christians are struggling with depression and anxiety as well. So this is – I'm not
– No, it's a pretty wide – I mean, these weren't people that are fly off the handle. These are these are good,
they're
solid
just like you
folks.
And I.
That
yeah, people you'd never expect to hear stuff like that from.
It's probably not the best counseling strategy, but I always remind them of the plague. Because that always
could
cheers me up.
Yeah.
I'm like, think of how the plague must have looked.
Things could always be worse strategy.
Yeah, but I do. I think about the plague, I guess, because I was an English major and I read a lot of stuff from that era. And I think, how scary would that have been? Besides the fact everyone was dying, no one could read.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? The whole world is literally in the dark ages. They called it that for a reason.
Yes, they did. But, you know, in terms of dark and middle ages, through many, many difficulties, I'm not trying to minimize it whatsoever. We are blessed of God that we live where we live in the days that we live in modern medicine. But the people who went through those issues, they also had a hope that was eternally focused.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a life, their lifespan was, 45 years or something mm-hmm. like that anyway. And so, you know, I think that folks were able to cope. I guess that puts all of us on borrowed time, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, here on the back side of the of the travel. So I guess we better take a break since we've been tardy and then goofing off. there'll be more goofing off. We won't be tardy anymore, though.
I can't imagine that.
We're here in the chairs, so no more tardiness. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Crickets.
Accidental.
I got a feeling we're going to have some country music today.
Well, now that we've got that all squared away.
Yeah. Since we're all on borrowed time.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, but there's something to be said for that. You know, the 20-somethings don't have a real clear-eyed view of where we're headed because they don't know where they've been. Mm-hmm. They haven't been very far. So we're here chatting with Guy Asherman from Higher Ground Counseling Center here in Reading. Do you guys do stuff online? Do you communicate with people that way, or is it a...
No, we don't. Some therapists do.
Yeah, I wondered.
But, you know, so much of the healing process is found in having a relationship with people.
Like,
you know,
real humans.
Yeah.
That we don't do anymore. I mean, you don't have texting counseling?
No, we don't. Thank
Probably
goodness.
Should.
Yeah, right. So, you know, so many people today don't have good, solid relationships with healthy people. And so, you know, much of what we do is to be that for them. Somebody who's safe, somebody who's confidential. Somebody who has empathy and understands what they're going through. Maybe some of us have gone through it as well. And so you just can't do that with typed words or even through a Skype or something. I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it helps people. I'm not saying.
Although you do have a mean blog.
Well,
mean in the modern sense.
Yeah, right.
You have a lot of good information on there.
Yeah.
I would encourage people to go. Your site is... HGCounseling.com.
Oh,
yeah, that's it.
And I think somewhere on there you'll find a window, a drop down that takes you to the blog. There's actually two different blogs. You'll find one with some other sort quotes.
Yeah, if you just go to our staff, that's how I found it. I went to our staff, okay. And then it said, check my blog. It's all on our site, but HGCounseling.com.
I'm quite pleased that you understand my webpage.
I did. I went and it was pretty. it was pretty basic.
Okay,
it's good though.
One of the things we were talking about at the break was, I think one of the big reasons people are melting down is we are in the information age, and people are just today being bombarded with so much information.
Yeah, we're in the bad information age.
Well, yeah, and they're kind of left at their own devices to determine what's real and what isn't real, and it just comes at them from every angle. And that it's 24/7, you know, what do we do?
Well, I think it creates a hypervigilance, in all honesty. It's not healthy. It's not good for us. We as a people have lost the art of being still, of meditation, of quietness, of a walk in the forest. And if we do go on the walk in the forest, we still have our cell phone, and we're still on it. We're still texting. We're still looking at emails. And I think one of the healthiest things that people can do for themselves is to get away from this on a fairly regular basis. You have to, in fact, since I'm a family counselor, the texts and all the information and the phones and the laptops and all of that, it's destroying marriages. It's destroying families. Because you sit down at the dinner table, there's four people, two parents, two kids, and they're not even looking at each other. They're all doing their thing. And it's taken its toll. It really is.
But, yeah, I remember when we were kids, we'd sit down for dinner. We ate as a family, everybody. And that, I think our generation did that. I don't think many people do that anymore.
So
but
since we've established we're old.
But one of the things was is when we sat down for dinner, there was no TV. That thing was off. It was just us.
How about if the phone rang?
Yeah.
That was like the height of rudeness.
Oh, that was, yeah.
Who you answered would be calling right now? It's dinner time.
Yeah. How dare they?
How dare they? And now it's like, we ate dinner at 9 o'clock, so okay. Just don't ever call us.
Yeah, but I think today, you know, the TV goes on when you get up in the morning, and I don't think it goes off until you go to bed.
Yeah.
And it's just noise.
It was interesting because we went to Mass last night, and Father George was funny. He said, you know, that he was talking about the news. It was really weird. It was like everybody was reading everyone's mind this week. You know, it was kind of all the same message. And he said, when I was a little kid, I used to watch the news, and I'd get all scared. You know, that there'd be these disasters and floods and, you know, things like that. And he said, my mom always told me, don't watch that part. Watch for the people that are helping. Mm. And I thought, what a great.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
what
look
a,
for,
like,
look
what
for
a,
the helpers. That's what
a great
he was talking
mom,
about.
You know, sure. What a great mom thing to tell your kid, you know, don't watch the high water or the smashed house or whatever the thing is. You know, look for the people that are helping.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's kind of cool. So what do you tell them? Just turn the thing off?
I do.
Yeah.
You know, and all, especially during political season that we're in right now, everybody is hanging on every word, but they're not changing their mind. I'm serious.
It's funny. I thought about that the
other
day, too.
Do you think they're becoming more confused, though? I mean, they got so much, you know, they're questioning their own ability to make a decision when they get so much information. They don't know if they're doing the right thing.
I think maybe the 10 or 20% in the middle may be undecided, you know. But
everybody picked their team kind of a while ago, I think.
Yeah, well, we've picked our party, you know.
Right.
And
yeah.
So it's to some extent, it's like, I've been a faithful this for so many years. I'm voting this way. I don't care what the facts are. This is just what I'm going to do. So we're creatures of habit in that regard. Plus, we love to be on the winning side. And, you know,
that's true. I didn't really think about that. Do people change their mind thinking they don't want to be part of the losing team?
I think some do, yes. It's the same thing as football. I was actually, I'll probably get into trouble for saying this, because I am a 49er fan, have been for years and years. But this year, I'm not sure I'm.
Until What's-His-Face showed up, and now we're.
And he won't kneel when we do the national anthem. By the way, the opening day of football dropped 11 points in ratings. Because of those events of people refusing to stand for the national anthem. I think so, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you
starve them out.
Yeah. So, anyway, I was going somewhere. Oh, I was watching before I came here today. I was watching a little bit of the Oakland Raider game, and I have been a diehard, hate Oakland Raider fan for a long time, and I'm beginning to wonder if I am not softening a little bit. So, Jerry Wheeler, if you're listening, you're welcome.
Did they all stand up and properly respect the flag?
I don't know. I don't really watch a lot of it anymore. Professional sports on the
level watch any.
Has just turned me off really bad. So it's
yeah,
not,
I gave
it's
up
not
on
about,
a long time ago.
It's not about sportsmanship anymore. And no. So it's a real turnoff for me.
I do have a nephew who's the youngest Skybox owner at the Staples Center.
Oh, is that
He's
right?
like 24.
Wow.
Manages two boxes down there. And so, you know, you should watch it if it's at the Staples Center, but other places, forget it.
Yeah. When people start talking sports with me, if it's football, I'll ask them what inning they did it in. And if it's football, I'll ask them how they hit the ball. Or, you know.
Well, you know, speaking of anxiety, I mean, look how people watch their football games.
Oh, yeah.
People get so upset over what team
wins
or what team doesn't because they have no identity in themselves.
Right.
Because the mom and pop shops are all gone, because all of us have a job for somebody that pays a check that we don't even see. It comes from another part of the country. We're working for corporations. That we don't have that sense of hope and desire to make good for ourselves.
Or that we're ever going to get a chance to drive the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
we're never going to get to the steering wheel. So,
and if we do move up in the ladder in some kind of an organization, there's still somebody above us. And it all runs downhill. No matter how hard we are on the ladder, it's going to hit us eventually. But, you know, when my folks grew up, they had their own grocery stores. And when people came back from the war, they had a laundromat and a grocery store and a gas station. And people made it because it was fulfilling because they owned it.
Well, you shopped places because you were supporting them.
And you knew them. You knew their family.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
you didn't dare, you didn't dare whatever the thing was, buy something someplace else because, well, it's funny, we had that recently. because we know the people that run the store, and it's like, you know what, they're going to know if we take a renewal class someplace else, so even if it's less money, it's still wrong.
Yeah.
But that's throwback from when we were kids.
Right, exactly. So, people had hope, they had ambition, they were vested, they cared, and if their business made it, and an awful lot of them did back in those days, mm-hmm. they were winners. Nowadays, who's the winner? And I think it's taking a tremendous toll on our psyche, to be very, very honest. So mm-hmm. if I can't be a winner in something that I'm doing, I better pick a winning team, and all of my energy is vested in them. And if they do okay, I'm okay. You'd be surprised how many people will actually go into a depression when their team loses. Honest truth.
I believe you, but it's so incomprehensible. Yeah. But I do believe, yeah. I mean, I could see that. And, well, same too. I mean, how many people have you heard say that, in the November election, depending on which way they think it's going to go, that the country's gone. That's
right.
It.
They're, well, we've been saying that for so
I know.
Many years. We're at a crossroads. We've been saying that for 50 years or probably longer. Probably Hamilton said that, But you're right. In fact, the last election that we had 4 years ago is when I turned my news off, just to be very honest with you, because it had an impact on me.
Oh, and it did me too. Yeah. I was so shocked at the outcome because I so much believed it was going to go the other way. Everybody was saying it was going to go the and then it.
Well, it went the other way till like 5 minutes of eight, and then between
like,
the time I left
this
happened? Studio and walked outside and got in my truck, somehow it all changed that night. I'll never forget that. It took me to walk down the block.
Wow.
That was it.
Yeah.
I mean, I walked out and it was like, yeah, everything's where I thought it was. I got in the truck. I turned on the radio. I was like, what?
Yeah.
It almost made me want to come back in. It's like, well, have I time traveled? Did something, what happened?
And if it
But it
had,
took weeks for people. Well, yeah, months actually for people to kind of pull out of that.
But we've been doing this a long time. We've been doing elections for a long time. Sometimes Republicans win, sometimes Democrats win. But it doesn't ever appear that the direction ever changes. Sometimes it slows down a little bit, but it's still going in the same direction.
But doesn't it look like it's really more impactful this time with people? So many more people are talking about it. Everywhere you go, it seems like people are talking about politics or the country or where we're headed, or it just seems like that's the upfront conversation with everybody now.
Well, it's use the word that belongs in this is it's super polarized. I mean,
it's a reflection of our nation.
Exactly.
We're becoming more and more and more polarized.
Yep.
We have the old school thought versus the new school, and the progressives have kind of taken the lead. And it's so very, very contrary to folks our age as to what we grew up with that a lot of people don't really understand what has happened.
And you're not allowed to ask questions because if you do, you're a hater.
Exactly.
And
you're a bigot or something.
You're a whatever. And I think that's been really disconcerting for people too. So they go either too far the other way and then they're just abrasive or – They're just hiding.
But then it trickles down, too. I mean, it's like when you find out how somebody feels about political issues or where they stand on issues, all of a sudden you're taking a different mindset about them and who they know and, what they do. And your
allocation of time in their direction.
Snowballs,
But here's the irony. Whether they're on the left or whether they're on the right, we all get up in the morning, we all put our pants and our shoes on, we get in a car and we go to a job. At least most of us do.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this set of – it's the rhetoric that divides us more than how we actually live our lives.
Mm.
And so I think that we all just need to calm down.
Yeah, everybody needs
to really
take a breath.
I think that I would like to say to the listeners right now, if your candidate does not win, My number is 941-9003, exactly. Higher Ground Counseling. You can find us on hgcounseling.com. We're here. We're here for you.
We're going to walk you through this.
It's true, too. Yeah, don't call me. Yeah. Call Guy.
People really,
I'm going to put you on our voicemail.
People really believe, like, this is the end. I mean, this is the end. We're at the end of the road now.
We have to take a break so we can contemplate the end.
Okay.
And harken back to the plague, because it was much worse then. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Better take the fall. Kick them in the head while they're down there.
The winner takes it all.
That's right.
It's kind of a Coliseum sort of thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on right now. So we have Guy Asherman with us this afternoon. It was 60 degrees today when
we got up.
You know, and it was Friday. Been a long week. And I thought, you know what? We need to get out of here. We should just go over to the coast and just have some nice fog and... I thought, wow, it's a good thing we didn't waste the money and go over there. We just stayed home, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Came to us.
We were laughing this morning. We're like, can you imagine if we came back today and it was the same weather as over there? Yeah. We'd be like, what the heck? Because they always tell us how we're going to get rain. We're like, right, rain. Mm-hmm. Anyway, nice.
Yes.
I'm kind of hoping with a little break from the 200-degree summer, maybe, you know. Does that help people?
It does help people, very much so.
It helps me.
I don't know what we would do as a people if we didn't have four seasons or something resembling four seasons.
That really does change your whole mindset, doesn't it?
Yes, but in the middle of winter, however, it does get to be old. So it never gets old for me.
I just want you to know I'm like winter cheerful.
Well, it's not so much the temperature, it is the length of day.
Right.
And the length of day does impact people's mental health.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day. We were walking along, and it was blazing hot, and walking the dogs, and we were thinking, you know, those people who live in Alaska and it stays dark, you know, they probably have a lot of mental health issues.
They do. It's a fact, yes.
Right.
Yeah, short days.
Yeah.
Just can't do it, huh?
Some days the sun doesn't even come up, you know.
Right.
And then the flip side, I know one trip I took up there, it never got dark.
Yes.
It never got dark. Right. And so 3 o'clock in the morning, you had to really – say, all right, I got to go to bed. And you close all the blinds and you try to make it dark and sleep for about 2 hours and get up and you're ready to go again.
Yeah. But
that would work on you.
This political season is kind of like the Alaska length of day, length of night kind of thing.
just goes on and on.
It kind of dawns on me. We've been in the dark for quite some time. And,
you know, this whole final stretch we're in right now on this election, I think people are just at the peak of what they can take. You know,
I had a grown
woman. They can't
woman.
Wait for the outcome. You know?
I don't know why it would have been better if she was a grown man. But for me, it would have. I don't know why. It's still bad. But I had a grown woman. I could tell by her voice. She was not a kid. I mean, this was a grown woman who called our office, screamed bastards into the phone like as loud as she possibly could. I know. And slammed the phone down. That
was the
mess.
Made her feel better. She was better after that.
And I thought, you took the time to look up the number and do that. And then, of course, you know, my response to everything, you know, I'm like, wait a minute. I've got two parents. Stephanie's got two parents. Brenda's got two parents.
Who the heck was she talking about?
She had a wrong number. It's totally a wrong number. But...
Well, you know,
we
have this misnomer that escalating anger resolves anger, and it doesn't.
Who thinks that's a good idea?
You know, people say, well, you know, if you just go scream in a pillow, you'll feel better.
Oh, that's true.
Who
I have heard that.
Who has tried it, and it actually made them feel better?
Yeah, that resolves the issue.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's definitely an issue that needs to be talked about.
And by the way, many folks believe this and teach this, and I think that it's true. I don't know if it's true in every case, but it's true probably in a majority of them, that the definition of depression is it is the highest form of anger. That we become so frustrated.
Oh, if you go so far one way, you just
shut off. That way.
You shut down. You're so mad, you just shut down. And if we allow our anger to get that bad, and then sometimes we then turn it inward. So if I have not performed up to my own personal expectations, I become angry at myself, and then we can go into depression. Depression is actually a reflection of my past. And when we are consumed with sentences, our self-talk that begin with, I should have, if only, that means that we are living in the past and we are troubled with regrets, guilt, shame about our past. So a lot of times our past is impacted, our depression is impacted by our past. If, however, our self-talk begins with this phrase, what if, then we're looking into the future. So we're kind of, and by the way, depression and anxiety, you know, most frequently go at the same time. They exist together. So we lose our mental health because I'm living in the past and I'm worried about the future and I have deprived myself and everybody around me of living in the moment today because we're never fully present. And I would just
because you're always looking either backwards or forwards.
Yes.
Too far.
And I would like to really send a caution out to parents because they're so wrapped up in all of this. The kids don't even know they're in the house. The kids need parents to be fully present. My focus is on you, and I don't mean holding your cell phone and then looking at them occasionally like somehow you're making any kind of an impact on your child's life. You need to attach to your children, and it's done by living in the present and being available for them whenever they need it. And when a child comes up to you and has a question or wants to talk to you, shut everything off. Turn off the TV, turn it all off, and listen, and lots of eye contact, lots of touch. Put them on your lap if they're small enough, or if they're too big, get on theirs. You know. But, you know, kids need this, and they're not getting it today.
It's interesting because...
That's interesting.
It would have been a great video, like for your website. Really, we were waiting for Chinese. We stopped by to get takeout Chinese. Now that's like the fastest thing, right? Mm-hmm. Next to going and dropping off a letter at the post office. Mm-hmm. I mean, takeout Chinese. What is that? It's like minutes, right?
Right.
It was an hour.
It was an hour.
We were losing our minds by the. It was like, you know, you get to that point where all of a sudden you just can't do it anymore, and you just kind of anyway. We got there. But I was watching this family, mom, dad, girl, boy. Little boy sitting next to his dad, little girl sitting next to the mom. And the dad's on his phone, the mom's on her phone.
Mm-hmm.
And the little girl kind of amused herself for a while. And little boy was like, you know, he was what, eight?
I'd say probably eight.
Maybe seven or eight. He was a little kid. And he was kind of swinging his feet. And then he was kind of dancing around, you know how they do.
Sure.
And he was like, hey, dad, you know, hey, dad. Mm-hmm. And the dad... just wouldn't, you know,
engage.
Wouldn't engage. And so this kid started getting worse and worse and worse and worse until pretty soon he was jumping out of his chair and running around. And then he was in all sorts of trouble and the dad blows his cool. And I thought.
Negative attention is better than no attention for a child.
And that's exactly what was going on.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
But that happens all the time. I think that happens at work.
Yeah.
you know, if you don't take care of the people that are doing a good job, you know, pretty soon they're not doing a good job anymore.
Let me share with your listeners just how important it is for parents to be attached to their children. Number one, if you wait until they're teenagers and they're acting out and you try to attach, you've blown your opportunity.
Yeah, it's too
late. Not saying it's 100% blown, but a lot of times you can try to recover. Maybe it helps. But
that'd be hard.
Attachment between a child, even from being an infant with their parent, is where conscience is born. And let me explain a little bit. I sometimes share this illustration with many folks in counseling that, you know, a baby comes home from the hospital, it's a newborn, and they have these giant godlike people taking care of them, changing their diaper, feeding them, loving, making goofy faces at them, making funny noises. And then as soon as the child's vision gets good enough to be able to see clearly, they know instinctively to look at your eyes, and that's when they smile. And the attachment is beginning to take place. Then, so everything is good. These people must be God. I mean, wow, look, they love me. They rock me. They take care of me. Then when the child begins to crawl, and they crawl to the wall where the wall plug is, and the parent says to the child, "Johnny, no." And you can picture this in your mind if you have been around children. Johnny kind of sits back on his diaper, looks up at this parent with a puzzled look, because number one, the child's never heard that expression or that tone before. And number two, the child has never heard the word no before. And so they're processing. And if you look at him, you can see the gears turning.
Right.
So the parent goes into the other room for just a couple minutes. What does Johnny do? Johnny reaches for the wall plug. Parent is kind of watching out of the corner of their eye. Parent walks in and does a very little tap on the hand and said, "Johnny, I said no." Johnny sits back on his diaper, looks up, and about 3 seconds later, he then cries. And the psychologists tell us that that moment is when conscience is born, because this precious little being has for the first time experienced the fact that they have the ability to disappoint people they love. Now, if the child is not attached to the parent and they slap them, they just get angry.
They didn't disappoint anybody.
You know what? Just get out of my life. I'm not attached to you. It doesn't care. And then I have that tendency to grow up with a very weak conscience. So, you know, if we want our children, when they're teens, to make healthy choices, they will make those choices if they understand, I am so attached to my parents, I don't want to disappoint them. Because if you think you're going to make their choices for them, you're wrong. You've been teaching them all of these years. The reason teenagers can do well today is they understand there is a right and a wrong, and I don't want to disappoint my parents. They're not going to be perfect. Obviously, they're not going to be perfect. But if there's a conscience there, they'll come back. They'll feel the guilt, and then they'll come back.
Right.
So attachment.
And that used to be a big thing. I mean, that was a big thing when we were kids. There were a lot of things you didn't do because it just wasn't done.
Right.
You know, it wasn't done. Your coach would know. Your parents would know. I mean, you had a lot of people to disappoint.
You were raised by a village.
Yeah, you had a lot of people to disappoint, you know.
Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to cross the line, you would chew gum in class. You know, that was...
Yeah.
right.
Yeah, your crazy moments were pretty,
you know,
pretty
when
limited.
When you talk about attachment, it reminded me there's a family that goes to the same church we go to, and they have two boys. And they typically always sit a couple rows ahead of us. And... every time when they're all there as a family, they're up old enough now where I think a couple of them are, or
these,
one,
both,
one of them's
both
in
the
college.
Boys are in college, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when they're there as a family, invariably during that mass, the father and the son, or both sons, will stand up, and at some point they put their arms around each other's shoulders. Yeah. And just, you look at that and you think, how often do you see that? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, typically, you know, a dad or a mom would try to put their arm around the kid, and the kid kind of crawls away, you know,
right.
Don't touch me, you know.
This is
embarrassing.
Yeah.
But these guys, they're just one.
These guys are huggers.
They're huggers.
It's fun to watch.
And it's not always instigated by the parent. A lot of times the son will just put the arm around the mom or the dad, and they all stand there. And it's like, it just puts a smile on your face when you see that, because most times with teenagers, it's the exact opposite.
Right. Yeah,
they don't have
they want
that
to sit in the other pew.
Yeah, or they don't even want to go.
Right.
You know, they don't want to be seen with their parents.
Yeah.
So there's obviously a difference in the way they were raised to have that bond.
Yeah.
They're a tight unit. It's funny when you see the parents there together. Mm-hmm. They're like missing a wheel. We've got to take one more really quick break here before the top of the hour, and then we're going to come back all next hour. We're talking about this. So hope you're enjoying it. You're stuck with us. The only break you get is the music. Thanks, Bob. Jethro Tull on a Sunday?
Yes.
Well, we're talking about counseling.
Good one, Bob.
Actually, we lost our mental health about his era. I mean, he's part of the reason.
Exactly.
We're stuck in all the music of back when things kind of worked a little bit. But we did some pretty weird music. We used it a lot, and it all meant things we didn't understand back then. We were seriously being programmed with stuff that we obviously were too dopey to get.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
I listen to an oldie once in a while now, and I catch the words, like maybe for the first time, and I said, seriously?
Yeah, we did that the other day. It's like,
yeah,
wow.
You're like singing along. You're like,
yeah, I can't sing.
Come
that.
Out of
yeah.
my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird, huh? Okay, so you had a thought right before we
had
to unceremoniously take a break there.
Well, I have sometimes said, I have met in my entire lifetime two or three families that actually were the Ozzie and Harriet type scenario. There's not very many of them.
No, there's not.
And there weren't actually when Ozzie and Harriet were there. I mean, obviously more functional, more nuclear than it is today. But I'm sure that there are some listeners today who have said, you know what, guy, you're making me feel worse or not making me feel better. You're telling me that the reason my kids didn't turn out is because I didn't attach them. And I did attach them. I loved them. I cared for them. And they still grew up and broke my heart. And I want to say to those folks, by the way, an awful large percentage of my practice is helping parents with their adult children because they just don't know what to do with them. Or they're raising their grandchildren even.
It's a lot of that.
So, I just want to have a lot of grace for people right now who are saying, Guy, I was as good a parent as you. Probably you were better than I was. Your kids still grew up and broke your heart, and you are depressed. You are living in agony. The golden years have been anything but golden years, and it has made life almost unbearable for you. And there's a way to work through that. It's about trying to draw boundaries and let your kids be responsible for themselves. If they're 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, they still have to learn how to be responsible for themselves. So to those of you who are struggling through those issues, all the grace in the world coming your way, I know that that hurts tremendously.
Yeah. And
you kind of forget about those folks because, I think we all know people that have kids that you hadn't seen them for a while. Hey, how's the family? Oh, my kid's on heroin. That happened to us here a while back.
Yeah.
The kids were just little kids last time we saw them.
Yeah.
And they were sweet little kids. Everybody got along.
Right.
And we find out their daughter
she
is
says,
living
oh,
on the street.
Yeah, oh, you've seen her. She's sitting on the corner.
Oh, my.
And they've, gone through the rehab thing and done all that and still nowhere. Spoke with a woman Friday who's raising three grandkids.
Yeah.
Great grandkids.
Yeah.
Wowza. Not what she had in mind. Very nice lady. Obviously not her fault.
Right.
But there's a lot of that. And it's nice that you focus there.
Sure.
It's a good place for people.
We're here for people who have struggled, not those who got it all right. They don't call me.
Give them your phone number one more time.
941-9003.
There you go. Right there in Washington
Plaza.
Plaza, right
there off of Park Marina.
All righty. We'll be back with Guy Asherman. You're listening to We the People Radio.